The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's just going to be like up high.
Radio X. This is the Evening Show podcast. I'm Gordon Smart. Producer Vin is here.
Hey, man. I'm back.
You know what, Vin? We've got to make that point. It has been 4 weeks since you last appeared on the Evening
Something
Show podcast.
Like that. Yeah.
You know, you handed 90s versus noughties over to young Joe. We started afresh and...
And then you found me.
And then I had to bring you back because he was looking pretty promising this year. He was on good form. How have you been, Vin?
I'm all right, yeah. I've been good. I've been missing you,
You went to the Edinburgh Festival. You know, I've got to make a confession. I'm regularly late for Vin here at Radio X. We tried to meet up in Edinburgh and I was late, so late that we couldn't meet up at all.
We must have been within 100 metres of each other.
I know. I sent you on a pilgrimage to Leith.
Yeah.
I'm pleased I did that.
So I got to the bar.
Yep.
I bought a round.
Yep.
And then Gordon says, oh, I'm running late, I can't get there.
Yep.
So I had to drink your son's Fanta myself. And that was my favourite part of the whole Fringe.
The most unrealistic thing about that whole thing is
sitting in a pub by yourself at the bar drinking Fanta is a very odd
were you on your own? I thought you were with company.
Yeah.
I feel even worse about that. Dear me, that is terrible. Oh well, he went to Leith, had a drink of Fanta on his own. Can I have a pint of lager please and a Fanta chaser?
Exactly.
Sorry Vin. You're lucky you got away with that in Leith, to be fair.
Yeah, I got out, I made it out.
Oh well, sorry Vin. You know what, you're back and we've got an action-packed Evening Show podcast. Mm. Our classic album this week was really good. We went back to 2006 for The Killers and Sam's Town. And you know what, Vin, when we do those classic albums, it always helps when you've kind of got a personal connection to something. And it reminds me of a really specific time. New job, moved house, loads going on. And I just remember playing that album all the time.
It was brilliant. It's just massive, isn't it? It's that moment when they were big after Hot Fuss anyway.
Yeah.
But it was that moment when you're like, okay, this is an arena band. This is a festival headlining band. When you were young came out, that was just like, okay, this is like a proper guitar rock band.
Too right. You know, I remember thinking, well, Brandon Flowers said that For Reasons Unknown is one of the best songs he's ever written.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting to hear how musicians and bands see their own catalogue of music. You know, like if you speak to Noel Gallagher, he always says, I didn't realise Don't Look Back in Anger was any good. Just wrote it. But For Reasons Unknown, I think, is an underrated song in their canon. It's amazing.
Fantastic.
What an album it was. We've got some great guests as well. Dave Gorman, the comedian. It's weird as well. I kind of feel like I've grown up with him because I was at university in 98 to 2001. He was getting really big around that time. Saw him at the Edinburgh Festival in 99, I think it was. And it's great to see his career as well and how he's got on. What a lovely guest he was too. So Dave Gorman's on and Liam Frey with a big secret to share with you. But if you want to find out what it is, you need to keep listening. Please enjoy the Evening Show podcast.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Hello, Dave Gorman.
Hello, how are you?
I'm really good, Dave, and it's great to see you. Finally had the chance to interview you after 20 years, sort of mildly stalking you around the country, I think it's safe to say.
You make that sound as if you've been trying and I've been somehow refusing your advances. I was completely oblivious to this, Gordon.
Genuinely a little bit starstruck by you, Dave Gorman, because when I was a student in 1998, 99, 2000, 2001, you appeared quite a lot in Edinburgh, and you made me laugh an awful lot.
I'm very, very glad to hear it.
Yes.
That's a lovely thing to know.
And I think one of my friends really badly heckled you in 1999 as well. And you expertly dispatched him. But I can't remember how you did it, but it was pretty painful. I remember that.
Really?
Yeah, it was good. Well done.
I'd like to know more about this incident.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I've been heckled.
He was a football teammate of mine, and he was wearing a tie to a gig when everybody else was sort of wearing jeans and T-shirts. And he was drunk, and I can't remember what you were doing at the time, but it involved something on stage, like a PowerPoint or something
like that.
And I think he called you something along the lines of, who's this office something or other?
Yeah.
And you stopped the whole thing. And I think you had a pointer.
Yeah,
and said,
that sounds likely.
Why are you here wearing a tie on a Tuesday evening in Edinburgh, you something or other? And then you couldn't hear anything he said back, and it was just you taking him apart for 2 minutes, which was beautiful.
I'm glad to hear that. I have no recollection of it. Oh. It doesn't sound like it's me, to be honest with you.
It's definitely you.
But then, you know, you have instincts, kind of animal instincts.
Yeah.
The most peaceful animal at all, you threaten its child. And it's going to come after you, and gets vicious. And probably I probably felt the same about my show at the time.
Speaking of children, you have a Gore baby now, I believe.
I do, yeah. He'll be 3 in October.
Uh-huh.
So he's less of a baby now, he's more of a toddler.
You get something back now, though, at least not being selfish about it. At least it's quite enjoyable now.
It is, and he can talk. And yesterday, my wife sent me a video of him saying, I love you, Daddy.
Oh.
And that, you know, that makes absolutely everything worthwhile, obviously.
Oh, Dave Gorman, that's a lovely woman.
Yeah.
There's this new thing, this new child in your life, the Gore baby, provide good material for the latest stand-up show that you've been doing?
No, I don't think. I have done some material about him on the TV show I was doing. I did have, when I wrote this show, I turned out I'd written 1.5 shows. And I started doing some dry runs, and it was way too long, and there was no way of people getting the last bus home.
Right.
I've had to cut an hour out of the show, and amongst the hour of stuff I'd cut out, there was some stuff about him, but it happens to have fallen by the wayside.
So this show's
probably
called,
be in the next tour, to be honest with you.
Keep it tucked away.
Yeah.
You've got a good few years left of him as a child.
Yeah.
This show's called With Great PowerPoint Comes Great Responsibility Point.
Yes, which is worth calling it that just to watch people like yourself
struggle
to say it out loud.
I got it wrong twice earlier on, actually. Ah, dear me, thanks for that.
And there has been at least one company have printed tickets that just say, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Which makes it feel like I'm doing a very pompous show.
Arethian principles of comedy.
And none of that is there.
So what is in the show then? If anybody wants to get tickets, because there are another 19 dates you've announced beyond Christmas 2019.
Yeah, I think we started with, I don't know, 23, 24 dates, and it's become 60-something.
Great.
And it is, with the title, With Great PowerPoint Comes Great Responsibility Point, is the classic title of a show that you had to give a title before you'd written a show.
Right,
so the only thing I know about myself is I am a double act and my partner is a PowerPoint presentation, and that was always going to be the case. So I could title it with that knowledge, but I didn't know any of the content. The show is always kind of about whatever I have been up to in the last few months, years, since I last did a show. And amongst the things that have happened since then is I've moved out of London and experienced a whole new life. And so there's stuff about that, more about how Londoners can't cope with the idea that anyone would ever choose not to live in London, which is a thing they really struggle to cope with, because they need everyone to prop up the idea that London is the centre of the universe, because if it's not, they are poor for no reason. And they can't cope with anyone shattering that illusion for them by choosing a life elsewhere. So stuff about that. There is, and I can't spoil this for myself, I can't spoil this for the audience, but I can make this promise, and I've done enough dry runs and had enough feedback to say with confidence there is the world's best giraffe joke.
I didn't see that coming.
No.
There can't be many.
Exactly, and to be honest, often, it's one of the problems with having to describe stand-up is what it's about actually says nothing. Like, no one goes, I want to see comedy about pizza.
Yeah.
But if you see really good comedy about pizza, you're very happy, and if you see really bad comedy about pizza, you're very unhappy.
Yeah.
The topics never tell you anything. So, you know, I'm saying the world's best giraffe joke, not for 1 minute thinking, there's a big audience out there going, well, I was going to see this comic, but now I know the best giraffe joke is over here, I'm in.
I can hear people running towards your website right now, which
it is DaveGorman.com.
It's good, isn't it?
But it's never about what it is. It's about how it's done, obviously. Yeah. It's the nature of it. So it's whatever has been going on in my world. There is there's a lot of stuff about the way the media handles certain issues. That's one of the advantages of using PowerPoint, is I'm able to not just talk about that stuff that you already know, to talk about stuff that you haven't quite remembered, but I can go, look, here's a detail. And while you see 8 of them in a row, you're now seeing the pattern. But the way life is normally presented to you is you're only going to see one of these things. You're not meant to see it as part of a pattern. But I'm now revealing the... It sounds like I'm an awful conspiracy theorist, but you're going to say it out loud. But yeah, I'm also solving the Zodiac murders.
Well, I'm starting to get slightly nervous. Unpicking the media as well. More from Dave Gorman in just a second.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
I am Gordon Smart, and it's a very special night tonight because I have a secret guest all the way from Manchester, from that very band, Mr. Liam Frey from Cortinas. All right, Liam?
Good evening.
Now,
good evening.
You come to speak to us with business, but before we get to that, just set the scene. Where are you in the world right now?
I'm in the rehearsal room, just making sure it's all right for Leeds Reading.
Yeah. Another little surprise for us there, Liam, that I wasn't expecting, eh? You never stop, do you? You're always grafting.
You know, I'm absolutely shattered as well. I need a couple of weeks off me.
Yeah, you do. You've had a big summer, haven't you? Because we haven't spoken to you since you played Neighbourhood Weekender, first headline slot ever for Cortinas. And since then, it just feels like that momentum has built and built and built through the summer, hasn't it?
It's mad. Like, if we really feel at the top of our game at the minute. Sometimes you feel a bit, I don't know, when you go and do festivals in Europe and you're banging out, you know, sets to not a lot of people and stuff, it can feel you know, is this what we're doing here kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're sandwiched in between like Wolf Alice and Liam Gallagher, who smashed it, you know, every time we saw him over the summer.
Yeah.
Then we did Transmit and it was just next level. It, you know, Neighbourhood and Transmit, them two were just like, whoa, it's gone up a level here. Yeah. So we just, yeah, I don't know, we feel in a really good place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, that was a magical moment in the sunshine in Glasgow. I saw that set, Liam, and it really was a special moment for you. And you keep having them.
I know. It's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But it is really the people out there. But we just felt like it's, you know, it's all coming together.
Yeah,
so it's as if somebody had a master plan 10 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
So tell you what, right, let's get down to business right now, because you haven't just come on for a lovely chinwag about all things Manchester United and speak to your old Scottish pal. You have got some business to tell us about. Would you like to announce your massive tour?
Well, I mean, bro, we were always going to do some gigs at some point, and it's been a while, so let's get back out there.
Yes. So what are we saying then? So where are we going then? We're going...
We're going everywhere, and we're doing some new. We're doing quite a few arenas, which is big for us because we're this tiny little band from Manchester no one knows about. So where we're playing like Glasgow Arena, Liverpool Arena, going up to Hull. The lovely people of Hull get to see us.
Oh,
yes. Playing in like Dudnow. We're playing Brixton for the fifth time, I might add.
Come on.
Everywhere. Birmingham. Yeah, everywhere.
You've pretty much covered it there. That's pretty good. So we're saying 15th of November all the way through to the 30th of November. So you're going to see quite a lot of the country in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Are you apprehensive about doing that? Because, you know, I know you put yourself through it every time you go on stage. You look after yourself well now.
We do. But there's definitely a few more aches and pains. It's like when you're playing five-a-side and you used to be able to do a few games a week. Now there's definitely a couple of days rest necessary once you've exerted yourself. So you just have to watch it.
Yeah, sensibly. You're a veteran.
For the enjoyment as well. Like, you can't be going on every night and getting absolutely, you know, at it. And then you just can't give your all. And I think people like can deserve it. So it's a balancing act, because they also don't want to think that you're in bed for your chamomile every night at 9 o'clock, which they'll be pleased to know isn't the case. So,
listen, obvious question, right? When you do a tour, you kind of hope that there's going to be some new material as well. Is there a new album coming?
There'll be new. There will be. There should be at least. Some songs being played on the road that are new. And there'll be some music I would expect before the end of the year.
Right, okay.
You can see me tripping over my words.
I'll dig you out of this rabbit hole, right? The big shows are going to be at Leeds First Direct Arena Saturday the 17th of November, then London's Brixton Academy Saturday the 1st of December, and then seeing all sorts of the country throughout November as well. It's going to be massive. Right, this is Curtinas right now on Radio X. Modern Love, enjoy this.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Curtinas Modern Love on Radio X. I'm still joined by Liam Frey from the band Manchester's Finest. Mr. Liam Frey, how are you, sir?
Very, very well, thank you, Gordon.
Now, I often spend time blowing smoke up your backside telling you how good you are live, right? Seen some amazing shows over the years, from Benny Kassim to Glasgow to all sorts of festivals around the world, but I've never asked you, and always have wanted to, what's the worst gig Curtinas have ever played?
There's been a couple. Everyone out front seems to have a good time. It's just whether sometimes you're on a different planet or not, I guess. There was one recently we just did, actually, in France. And I think it's that kind of where they give a lot of the locals tickets, you know, to kind of keep them happy or whatever. Yeah. And, it, you know, just between songs, it was like they didn't know, not even who we were, but like what was going on. It was like, wait, did you not know there was going to be a festival in your town centre? Did no one give you the memo? In perspective, Liam went on after all. And after the second song, he was like, what am I going to do with you all? So we weren't even having him. So it's like, if you don't know who Oasis are, we've got no chance. So that was pretty abysmal, I'm not going to lie. We did one where we played London, and we were in Norwich the next day, and I'd forgotten, and I'd stayed out in London, and I had to get a taxi to the gig. I'd get a black cab to Norwich. And it was like £340.
Ooh.
I know, yeah, well, it's like getting the tour manager to just bring the merch over real quick. So that was pretty eventful. But yeah, stuff like that used to happen all the time.
Yeah.
Before
I love it.
Before, you know, we started being a lot more professional, you know.
Well, listen, I was hoping you could tell me a little bit more about Gerry Cinnamon, because like, we know him and we love him dearly. We've been playing him a lot on Radio X, but I know you're going to take him out on tour with you in November as well.
Yes.
Now, when did you first see Gerry, and how did he manage to hypnotise you with his music as well?
I can't remember who put me on, but I remember being a long time ago. It was at least, but when I was in August, it must have been nearly a year ago, I think.
Yep.
And me and I think me and Connie, and we were just sat up at mine, and we put him on, and I wasn't really sure if anybody else had heard of him or not, and I thought, this guy is like amazing. Like, I thought, oh, I've discovered this guy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I was like patting myself on the back. And it must have been about 11:30 at night, and I just put out a tweet saying like, Gerry Cinnamon, and I thought, let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
And this is the power of Twitter, you see. I mean, aside from 98% of people being on there being absolute melons, sometimes you can kind of decipher, you know, what's going on. And within about 20 minutes, I had about 400 retweets. So I was like, right, so people know. I was like, this is really interesting. And it reminds me of us.
Yeah.
You know, me when I was starting out acoustic, and the people knew, but the powers that be perhaps didn't necessarily, you know, exactly. Early doors.
Yeah.
I just found that so exciting. I was like, God, I love his songs. And he's real and he's speaking to people. And if you speak to people, shun everything else because nothing else matters.
Exactly that.
Because ultimately, they're the ones that will decide.
Here. Well,
really good tune, transmit and whatever. It just felt like a good fit. So, yeah, we're going to take him on the road.
I fear for you all, actually, the combination. I really fear for you on the road with them. Could be trouble.
Yeah.
Listen, Liam, thanks so much for coming on. I just want to wish you the best for that tour. It's going to be special. I'm sure we'll be along to at least 3 or 4 of those nights as well. So all the best, Liam.
Excellent, thanks.
There he was, Liam Frey from Curtainers. What a great man. And let's play that support act, one of the best you will see on tour with Curtainers in the next year or so. Gerry Cinnamon, this is outstanding. The song is Sometimes.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, it's Union Jack guitar time. If you've got a brother to have a scrap with over the weight of cardboard, now is the time. Or if you're indoors and like wearing a cagoule parka or sunglasses, this is your time. Welcome to What's the Story?
Radio X.
Few weeks on the evening show, I've been asking for your favourite Oasis track and the story behind what it means to you. Now, I'm not after the obvious hits either. This is a chance to go off the beaten track with the Radio X record collection. So no Live Forevers, no Wonderwalls, and no Don't Look Back in Anger action. I'm wanting the B-sides, the tracks that take you back to a very particular place and time. Now, I have a massive Oasis fan on the phone. I've got Rachel there. Hello, Rachel. How are you?
Oh, hello, Gordon. I'm very well, thank you. Lovely to speak to you.
And you. It's a real pleasure. Now, Rachel, can you give us a sense of how much you love Oasis? You're a huge fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, a massive fan. They mean a great deal to me. In fact, my husband, he got tickets for us to go and see Liam Gallagher in December at Alexandra Palace. But unfortunately, I was 9 months pregnant, so couldn't quite make that one. But, yeah, we absolutely love them.
Oh. That's a nightmare, isn't it? So you had to say...
Oh,
so
I couldn't believe it.
Did he come back in a respectable fashion? Was he home before midnight?
I wish I could say that he was, but if you go and see Liam, I think you've got to be a bit unrespectful, haven't you? That's the only way to do it.
That is correct, Rachel. Now, listen, have you been to see them a few times over the years?
Yeah. Long time ago now, obviously. But, we went to see them in Wembley in 2009, I think, the last time. So... Yeah, if only they'll get back together, hey?
Ah, well, Rachel, don't want to give you hope of something that won't happen, but you know what, let's enjoy them while they were going. Now, what song have you chosen for us tonight, and why does it mean something special to you?
Well, I've chosen a track off the Be Here Now album, Don't Go Away, but the version I like of this is actually in the Mystique demo, where Noel actually sings it. I just think it's such a beautiful song and really heartbreaking. I think around the time they did Be Here Now, it was quite a big, loud, guitar-y time. But Don't Go Away is just incredibly vulnerable. It's about the end days of a relationship when you're breaking up. And I just think, it's so poignant. The lyrics are so beautiful. And you really feel the pain of kind of things going wrong, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's really lovely.
Rachel, do you want to do this for a living? Do you want a job? That was magical.
I just really love it. I'm not saying that I've ever been dumped. It doesn't remind me of the time of that. But, I think the lyrics are something else in this track. I really love it.
Well,
it's just such a departure from what they were doing at that time.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Rachel, what an eloquent description of a song we're going to play. And this is just for you. And you know what? A perfect week for it as well. It's 21 years since Be Here Now came out. This was on the re-release last year, wasn't it? The reworked version. What a great choice as well. Rachel, thank you very much for that.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, Gordon. Lovely to speak to you.
Ah, it's a real treat. Well, Rachel, this is just for you. Oasis, this is the Mystique demo of Don't Go Away from Be Here Now.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart and I'm joined by Dave Gorman, the brilliant comedian who is on tour right now with Great PowerPoint Comes Great Responsibility Point.
Yes, you did it.
Got it right.
Nailed it.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Gorman, I'm writing a crap book. It's called Slash Gordon, based on a pun. It's, the idea came from the pun first. And then for the last 10 years, I've been asking
famous people. Annoyed because I was writing a book called Slash Gorman.
Well, you know what? Maybe we could come to an arrangement. Yeah. We could do it together. Yeah. I've been writing this book about awkward encounters in the bathroom with famous people. I bumped into Sean Connery once, and I just thought, I wonder who the most famous person Sean Connery's bumped into in the toilet.
Yeah.
And the idea is to carry it on as a chain.
Okay.
So, Mr. Gorman, would you please give us an entry for Slash Gordon?
I can give you two.
Oh, yes. Great.
One of them, and I apologise. I will do this one first because it feels so self-aggrandising because it was in the toilet at the Letterman show.
Oh,
so I can't help but have the peripheral, I was on the Letterman show, kind of boast in the background. But that's not the point of it. The point is I walked into a toilet and Dean Martin was urinating and all you can do is go, I'm ever so sorry, sir, and close the door.
That's it.
And walk away and go, Dean Martin doesn't lock the door.
That is incredible.
Lives in a world in which he does not expect other people to exist.
One of the biggest names ever. Brilliant.
Yeah. The second is Bruce Forsyth. It was, again, I don't think this aggrandizes me especially, it was at the British Comedy Awards, and he had received a Lifetime Achievement Award, and I happened to be going to the gents, and Bruce Forsyth came in, there was a bit of a queue, and we ended up next to each other, and I genuinely, without thinking about it, said, nice to see you.
did you finish it?
And I didn't do it in the kind of, like, setting the catchphrase, but I was then just awfully thinking, he thinks I'm doing that, and I wasn't doing that. I was just saying hello, and we'd exchanged a couple of sentences, and I said, nice to see you, to Bruce Forsyth in the gents.
And just left it there.
Yeah. It's nothing, you can't do anything else. I mean, he didn't say, to see you nice, but I felt like, you know that thing of going up to Richard Wilson and I don't believe it at him. He just felt like I'd done that, but I did it by accident. It was just the most natural. Whatever had gone before it, it was the most natural thing to follow it.
That's great.
But he can't possibly hear those words and not think, oh, leave it alone, you little whip snapper.
I had to say back to you, though, has anybody ever said, are you Dave Gorman?
Yes.
Quite daily. A lot at the urinal? Yeah.
Even now, not at the urinal. I do occasionally get people who want to start talking to me at the urinal, but they generally achieve some level of self-awareness before they speak.
Just don't do it.
And sometimes wait until afterwards and then talk to you. But yes, even now, it is a weekly occurrence that I get it.
I haven't heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't heard that one before. Yeah. Oh, Dave Gorman, that's too goodness for the book. Really grateful for that. Thanks
happy
very
to
much.
Help.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So if you're a regular listener to The Evening Show, you'll know that every Monday night we delve a little bit deeper into an album we love here at Radio X. Over the last 2 years, we have gone through some cracking albums, and tonight is no different because we're going to go back to 2006, nearly 12 years ago, for Sam's Town by The Killers, which was their second album. It came out in October 2006. Seems just like yesterday to me. What a special time. I was moving house, had a brand new job, and I remember being taken to a record label, put in a room with this album, and was one of the first people ever to listen to it. And I just remember thinking, wow, they are massive. I thought they were a good band, but at that point realised they were going to be huge. So that album has now gone platinum 5 times in the UK. It sold over 4.5 million copies. A number one in the UK and a number two in America. So I think that's a sign, isn't it, that they were about to be absolutely massive. It's the album that confirmed the Killers as festival headliners as well, because they went off and played some huge gigs after that and some brilliant arena shows too. The tracks on it include When You Were Young, what a song that is, Bones, For Reasons Unknown, Read My Mind and Bling, Confessions of a King. I'll never forget listening to Read My Mind for the first time. That was the one that I thought was the best, but When You Were Young, probably right up there in their top five tracks ever. Brandon Flowers said at the time he wanted to create an album that captured chronologically everything important that got him to where he was today. It was co-produced by the super producer Flood, who's worked with New Order, U2, Foles and loads of others, and he brought a huge sound to, an epic sound to the Killers, gave them a little bit of a darker edge as well. Brandon Flowers took a lot of influence from U2, still does today as well, and he aimed to give the album a much bigger scope. He also used less effects in his vocals, so you think back to Hot Fuss and listen specifically to his voice, there was a little bit of spin put on everything he sang. But he said on this album, on the first album, we used autotune, didn't even realise what was going on with the machines and the computer. I was adamant about not using it the second time round. You really hear what my voice sounds like for the first time. It is an unmistakable vocal. The Killers toured the album across the world, started playing arenas for the first time, and they also started playing some live covers, including Joy Division's Shadow Play, and that's a song which has ended up being on a couple of albums, on an album, Sawdust, I think it was, but it's a cracking tune. So let's get into it now. Two songs from that brilliant album, Sam's Town, by The Killers. I've got two belters for you. How about this? When You Were Young, followed by Read My Mind.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X.
So tonight you heard The Killers, Sam's Town, two great songs from that. It came out nearly 12 years ago, October 2006. Really happy memories of that coming out. And some lovely messages as well. Ian Pemberton got in touch, definitely in my all-time top 10 albums. Absolutely majestic. Jake Gibson as well, best Killers album in his opinion. And David Johnson too, love it. It's a classic. Absolutely superb stuff tonight. You heard When You Were Young there, the comeback single that got to number two in the charts. One of the band's most popular songs. Anybody who's been to see them live will know that that is a cracking sing-along tune. Huge live. Massive influence by Springsteen as well, isn't it? Much more American rock sound compared to the synths on Hot Fuss. It was nominated for two Grammys as well, so really impressed the judges there too. Read My Mind, what a song that is. I think it's one of my favourite Killer songs. It's the third single. Brandon Flowers thought it was the best song he had ever written at that time. It's a proper Springsteen-style arena anthem as well. It's got a healthy dose of Killer synths as well for the purists who love classic Killer synths. It was remixed by the Pet Shop Boys as well after they saw the Killers live at Brixton Academy. And I think the last time the Killers played at Brixton, which was just this summer, they popped along to that as well with David Walliams for company. You can hear For Reasons Unknown in the background, and bassist Mark Stormer played guitar on that song, and Brandon Flowers took on bass duties. Now, the album title, that came from Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall, which is a hotel and casino in Las Vegas. Remember the artwork as well? It was cracking stuff. Shot by the legendary photographer Anton Corbin, who'd done loads of stuff for U2 as well, and the same man that made the Joy Division movie, Control. So how about that? Brilliant stuff. I'll have another classic album for you next Tuesday night on The Evening Show.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Would you please regale us with a great story about a bad heckle or maybe a good heckle?
Well, there's this one time in Edinburgh where a guy went, oh, what's you doing with your office thing? And I spent 2 minutes dismantling because he was wearing a tux.
That was it. Yeah.
But apart from that, I think like the worst kind of heckles, and maybe I shouldn't even give people this ammunition, is when you're not... I think everything said in the room should be for everyone in the room.
Yeah.
And the worst heckle, I had this once at a gig. It was in a university called Lampeter, which is in mid Wales. And there was a girl on the front row who was whispering heckles so that only I could hear
her.
And I can't say what they were because they involved the C word and I have no idea what I'd done to upset her. Yeah. But you can't handle it because the rest of the audience are unaware of it, so it's just eating away at your subconscious while you're trying to entertain the rest of the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't go, what did you say?
It's quite sinister.
Because there's nothing going on. Yeah. So that was the weirdest, the worst. The best, which was pretty horrible when it happened, was it was during my first time in Edinburgh. I was hosting a thing called the Comedy Zone, and at one point a woman stood up, walked onto the stage, grabbed me by my sideburns and kissed me.
Wow.
Full on the throat and just went yeah. for it. And all I could do was wait until she'd finished and then announce what brand of cigarettes she was smoking. And that wow. was kind of... It was sort of easy to handle because it was so bizarre. You can't yeah. possibly lose when someone has transgressed that yeah. much. There's yeah. not a lot of things you could do wrong with it. But it was the weirdest. So and I don't know if it's the best or the worst, but it's definitely the weirdest.
It's unusual. That's yeah, unusual. Yeah, yeah. That's one thing about Dave Gorman. You have seen a lot of the country now from your touring.
Yes.
You know, the pedal, get on the bike, get off the bike one when you cycled round. Does anybody ever disappoint when you do a tour now because you haven't put yourself through a horrific cycling through all conditions to get to the gig?
No, I think people get disappointed when you're... They imagine that we sit in front of one of those like Churchill room maps, shuffling bits around, saying, yeah. I'm going to Dane to perform here, but I won't go here, as if you take some personal yeah, yeah. offence at the people of X town. And the truth is, we're like plumbers, we're guns for hire. We go where someone has asked us to yeah. go. Like, we can't turn up at theatres unannounced
yeah.
and go, I'm playing here tonight.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? So it's always, we're never quite in charge of where we go. We, you know, we want to work and we go where we go. And you get these people go really angry.
Yeah.
Half the time, they're people who are really angry because you're not playing their town and you played there 3 nights ago. Yeah. And they just, it's their fault for not yeah. knowing about it or whatever. But that's the only upset it seems to cause.
But there are some new dates, 19 dates, I believe, added
there are.
On,
yeah,
starting
yeah.
at the beginning of
yeah.
the year, and some great venues there as well. So you're adding nights on as well to some of the big nights. So
yes.
The Lowry yeah. in Manchester, yeah. a couple of other special ones are there. Birmingham Symphony Hall is a good one, Royal Festival Hall in London.
Yeah.
Just coming back to that
such
London.
Such a lovely room.
It's
that
a great
one.
Room, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got nothing against London. I have to, like, since we moved out of London, we've had more nights out in London in the few months since we've been here than we had... when we lived here for 2 years with a toddler, because yeah. now we live near grandparents who can come and look
baby
after
sitters,
him and
yeah.
we can come into town. So we have the best of both worlds now. It was just tough without any kind of family yeah. to support you.
Well, it's great to see you, Dave yeah. Gorman.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And I
thank
can't wait
you.
To come and see the show as well. Looking forward to your PowerPoint. I'll bring my mate with his tie to heckle you.
Yeah,
badly.
Do. That's having a reunion.
Have a pre-arranged heckle put-down as well. Dave Gorman, all this. Do you want to buy these tickets, DaveGorman.com?
Absolutely.
He's got his own website for it and everything. Right, Dave Gorman, thanks very much for popping in. Radio X.